Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve. It is good to be here today. Let me get this out of the way before I knock it out of the way. It's good to be here today. And again, I really miss not having you here. Not only just to see your pretty smiling faces, but also... I like to move around a lot when I speak, and I feel like that I can't do as much of that because of the camera. But anyway, it's really good to be here today. And as I was thinking about and preparing my heart for what the Lord wanted me to speak to today, I kept coming to Matthew, the gospel writer of Matthew. So I did some research into Matthew, and there's really not a lot in the Bible about Matthew himself. He's mentioned a couple of times. He's mentioned with the other disciples and once again in Acts. But for the most part, that's about all the Bible speaks of Matthew. But what we do glean from that is that he had one of those jobs that people dread seeing him coming. Nobody likes it when it's tax time. Nobody likes to pay taxes. I remember as a little kid, me and the other little boys would go to the store, and we knew exactly what we needed to get or what we could get without paying another penny or two for taxes. So we'd wear that store clerk out. We'd go in, and we'd get us one piece of candy and pay for that. We'd either eat it and then go back in and buy another piece. And you could get three pieces rather than just a couple of pieces because you didn't have to pay the taxes. But nobody likes the tax man, especially when you feel like your taxes aren't going in the right places. And like today, I think a lot of people, and I can say I'm included too, that a lot of my taxes go to places I don't really care for my taxes to go to. Well, in those days, the tax collector was the fella. He would usually pay the duties or the taxes that the Roman Empire would impose, and then he would come back and recover his losses by charging the people. Sounds fair enough, but the problem was these folks weren't the most outstanding character of people, and they would take a little extra cut for themselves. So they were robbing and stealing not only from people that would come through the towns and neighborhoods, but also their own neighbors, their own people. So they weren't very liked. So in the Bible, Matthew wasn't a very liked person up until the day he met Jesus. Then when he did meet Jesus, things changed for Matthew. And again, very little is known about him in the Bible, but when you read other sources about Matthew, they tell us that he was an evangelist. They speculate he was an evangelist, and how he died was a little bit unsure, but they believe he died a martyr's death. But the important thing was that his life changed one day at a tax collector's booth in Galilee. Amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, 9 through 13. That's where I'm going to take my text from today, and we're going to read a little bit out of that. It says, as Jesus went out from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner. So you ask me, Brian, what can we learn from Matthew, this fellow that we know very little about? But I think there's three important things. There's probably more important things to learn about Matthew. And the first one is that Jesus saw Matthew. Verse 9 says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Jesus saw Matthew. I think there are many people in our world today that feel like God is just sitting up on his big throne, waiting for us to mess up so he can either keep score, beat us on the head, do whatever God does and take your revenge on us when we mess up. He's just looking for when you mess up. I think there's a lot of people that view that way. And I think there's a lot of Christians today that sometimes think, well, God really ain't paying me no attention. God's not watching me all the time. He can't see the little bitty things that no one else can see, but God does. I want to tell you a little story I heard this last week. This burglar broke into this house, and it's dark, and he's quiet. He's dressed in black, and as he's creeping through the house, he hears this: Jesus is watching. So he freezes up. He kind of backtracks to the door, and he hears it again: Jesus is watching. Well, there's something odd about this voice. It's like something's just not clicking. So he kind of goes back in. He shines his light, and there's this bird in this cage. Jesus is watching. He's like, this is funny. Who would name their bird Jesus? And the bird said, my name is Clarence. But Jesus is the Rockwiler over there watching every move you make. And I believe that a lot of people today think that's how God looks, that he's just watching and waiting for us to mess up so that he can pounce on us. But I don't think that's the truth. Let's look at Psalms 121 and 8. I don't know if I put that up there, did I? It says, the Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. And then in verse 34 and 15 it says in Psalms, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and and his ear is attentive to their cry. Jesus saw Matthew not because Matthew had done anything, but it was because he was looking for Matthew. He had to purposely go and find Matthew. And I believe that's what Jesus is doing today, is God is looking for people to call upon him. He's not waiting to bang us on the head. He's looking for people that he can search and save. And as Christians, he's looking for us. He's looking at us. He's watching us to look out for us. He knows when troubles are coming, and he can bless us before the trouble comes. His Holy Spirit can teach us before the situation arises. I remember talking to some guys, and this one gentleman, he had just gotten a raise at work, and he had been blessed and got some extra money. And he's like, man, you know, thank the Lord, I finally got some money in my savings account. I'm doing real well. And then a week or two later, he comes in all mully grubbed down. I said, what's wrong? He goes, man, the transmission in my car went out, and all that money I had in my savings is gone because now I had to go pay for a transmission. Well, you can look at that a couple of ways. You can look and say, well, man, I just lost all this money. Woe is me. Or you can look at it and say, well, you know what? The Lord was watching out for me. He provided what I needed before I needed it, and get the blessing before you actually need the money. That's the way you should look at it. Amen? The point two that I want to look at is Matthew followed Jesus. Verse 9b, it says, follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Now, at this point, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all we see is Andrew, Peter, James, and John. They're the only four disciples that we see so far. And I can imagine there's a multitude of people that are following, and they're like, he's watching, he's looking for somebody else. But the people that he had just picked, these four guys that he had just picked, were all fishermen. And at that time, they were kind of the lower end of the social economic level. If you couldn't do anything else, you could always go fish. You know, it's just one of those things, you could go fish. So we see Jesus, he's already picked four guys that a lot of society may ignore, may be forgotten about. Now, it was pretty important what they did, because what they did fed a lot of people. But the people themselves were just people. Nobody really knew who they were. They're just guys that go out there and catch my food, and I get to eat it. I think that today, a lot of times, we rely on a lot of stuff, and we see a lot of people doing a lot of stuff that we don't give it a second thought. Have you been in the restaurant? This is the first thing that comes to mind, being in a restaurant, you know, especially if you have to wait. So now you have to wait for a little while, and you get mad at the lady at the front, right, because she's the face of the restaurant. Now you're having to wait. Then when you finally get in, it's the waitress that comes out, and she is now the face of the business. So you give your order, and you don't give it a second thought. You get your order back, and it's not right. Who gets blamed for that? The poor little waitress, because she's not going to get a tip, or her tip's going to be reduced because they either had to wait too long or their food wasn't cooked just right. We never give a second thought to that person in the back of that building, sweating to death over a hot stove, fixing us a meal along with everybody else in there, and maybe they made a mistake. But all we see is our food wasn't right, and I'm going to blame it on someone, and it just so happens to be this lady here. We all like to drive around in our cars, right? We always like cars. But when they tear up, who do we take them to? The mechanic. We don't give the mechanic a second thought until we need him. And then he's a pretty important person. You don't give a second thought to the people that made that car and the thousands of other people that were part of that chain that created that car. They're just people. And nobody cares nothing about them because I don't see them. And I think these four guys were four guys that nobody saw. They were four guys that were just at the bottom of the level. They were, just say they're poor people, just regular, ordinary people. But what we see in them is that Jesus came along and he picked them. Those were the four guys that he wanted to pick. Now, all of a sudden, he runs across Matthew. And now the story of the big thing here is that Matthew is someone I believe they knew. Everybody had obviously seen him at some point or another if they paid their taxes. But he wasn't that liked guy. He was what they considered a sinner. Because in that scripture, they talk about the tax collectors and sinners. So they put Matthew in that same group as the sinners. But Jesus called him. That's kind of important for us. Because not only did Jesus call the socially outcast, but he also went and called and looked for the morally bankrupt. And there ain't a person alive that can't fit in that category. At some point in our lives, we were all morally bankrupt. We were all sinners. And that's the next person that Jesus came to. So that should give us all hope. That should give us all joy that, you know what? You go after the poor people, you go after the people down here, but now you're going after the people that people know, and these are sinners. Oh, wow, I was once a sinner. And if you are a sinner, Jesus is looking for you as well. This should be an encouragement to us. So Jesus comes up and he says, follow me. Now, the thing about the four fishermen was they could easily walk away from it. If it didn't work out, hey, I can go back to being a fisherman. Whereas with Matthew, when he left that day, he was giving up a whole lot. He was giving up a career or a job that was making him some good money. And after he had spent time with Jesus, he really couldn't go back and be the kind of tax collector he was, knowing what he knew about Jesus. So that day, when he said, follow me, and Matthew got up from his table and followed him, that was a big deal. So what would cause a man that would be in the sinner group to follow Jesus? I believe, I can just picture it in my mind, there has to be a lot of people because they're following Jesus. Jesus walks up to Matthew at his little tax collecting table, and he looks up at Jesus, and Jesus simply says, follow me. I believe in those two words, Matthew saw something that changed his life. I believe that when he looked into Jesus' eyes, when he seen the countenance on his face, he seen true love. He seen the definition of love. He saw compassion. There had to have been something there. And I believe, as well as seeing Jesus and hearing that with his ears, that the Holy Spirit put something in his heart that he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt. He was willing to give up everything that day because there's something different about this man. He had seen countless people, but there's something special about this man. And he got up and walked away. Now, he didn't do it out of an obligation to follow Jesus, because he could have just sat there and ignored Jesus and done his own thing. But I believe he did it out of a heart that was pulled by the Holy Spirit, that I want to be what he is wanting me to be. I want to be with him because he loves me. I want that. He wanted a relationship with the Father rather than being obligated to follow. I think there's many of us today in the church, I say us, I'm throwing myself in there too, that we follow and we call ourselves Christians and we have obligations that we feel like we have to do. I'm a Christian, so I have to go to church. Man, I got to go to church today because it's the Christian thing to do. I got to read my Bible because that's the Christian thing to do. I need to pray because that's what Christians do. Hey, I even give in the offering. Hey, that makes me an even specialer Christmas, a Christian, right? Because I give in the offering because that's what Christians do. I believe that when you stand before the Lord, there's going to be a lot of people that are saying, hey, I went to church. I read my Bible. I prayed every now and then. And I gave in the offering. Does that make me good? No. That's good stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't quit paying your tithes or going to church and praying and reading your Bible. But I'm just saying that those things, if they're done out of an obligation, are of really no value to you. What Jesus was looking for and what Matthew did is he followed Jesus out of a passion for what he had. We should go to church with the mindset that says, I get to go to church today. Man, what a privilege it is to live in a country where I can put on my clothes, no matter what I wear, I can go to church and I can worship the Lord. I get to hear what the Lord has laid on my pastor's heart. He's speaking to me from Christ. I get to do that. Man, that is pretty awesome. I get to go to church. And I get to worship in my own way. If I want to jump and shout, I get to jump and shout. If I want to just stand there, I get to just stand there. I get to worship the Lord. You know what else is even better than that? I get to read and I get to study. I get to pray. I get to have an intimate relationship with the God Creator. Man, what a cool thing that is. I get to know it. And if we opened our Bible every day and we looked at it and said, Lord, you know, I'm reading in the book of Judges. What is it that, Lord, you want me to learn from the book of Judges? Just pick a book. What is it you want me to learn? Because it's here for a particular reason. Lord, show it to me. I want to learn rather than, okay, we're doing a read the Bible through a year, so I got to read 5 chapters today. Boom, 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 5 chapters are done. You don't have a clue what you've just read. Because it was an obligation versus a get to, a desire, a relationship with the Lord. You get to spend time. You get to talk to the Lord. That's the kind of thing that made Matthew walk away from that tax collector's booth that day. The third thing is Matthew's friends met Jesus. Verse 10 said, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Matthew had experienced something in his life that nobody else had ever done. Nothing in his life had ever happened like that before. And he knew the folk that he was running around with, man, they need this. This is pretty cool stuff. I want to share what I have just gotten from Jesus with my friends. So immediately, I mean, it's like the next verse after he said, follow me. We see him at Matthew's house for dinner. There's three important things about this conversion with Matthew. First off, Matthew, he didn't want to be like the Pharisees and disassociate with his friends or those of sinners. He didn't want to do that because the Pharisees had the belief that if you touch something unclean, now you're unclean. You hang around with unclean people, you're unclean. And the ideal of sitting down and having a meal with that was even, oh, man, this is even worse. Because now not only do you identify with these unclean people, these sinners and tax collectors, you're condoning them. That was their thought philosophy back then. But Matthew wasn't going to be like that. He wasn't going to say, I'm going to ignore these people over here. I'm going to fellowship with them. I want them to come and meet this Jesus. And how many of us have felt that way that says, you know what? I don't like them people. They're not like me. They're sinners. I don't have nothing to do with them. So I'll just stay away from them. That's not what Christ wants us to do. He don't want us to do their sin. He doesn't want us to follow in their sin and do what they do. But he wants us to love them. He wants us to associate with them in the sense that we invite them to church. We live a life that's holy and pure before them. And that would be a drawing thing to them. Just imagine where you would be. Some of us can think short term. Some of us have to think way back when. What was it that brought me to the Lord? Who invited me to church? Who gave me the first gospel message that introduced me to that Jesus that Matthew saw that day? To introduce me to those eyes and that heart and that voice that says, follow me. And if we don't associate with people like that, then we're not going to be a witness and a testimony to them. So Matthew brought his sick friends to Jesus. He brought them to the house so they could be spiritually touched. There's a quote from a pastor that I was listening to this last week. And he made this comment, and I'm just going to attribute it to him because Preston Morrison is his name, because he's the one I heard it from. He said, if all the people I love Jesus, I don't love enough people. If all the people I love Jesus, I don't love enough people. If all the people that I consider my friends are Christians, then I may not have enough friends. But when we say love, it goes a little bit deeper than just being friends. If all the people I love Jesus, then who am I witnessing to? Who am I being an impact on? Just other Christians. That's nothing bad about that. But we should love other people. We should love our non-Christian friends. I work with a bunch of heathens. I know they're not listening, so I can say that. But I love them. And it wouldn't be good for me if I know what's going to come. If I know what the end of the book says about judgment and what happens if you died without Christ. If I didn't warn those fellas, if I didn't say anything to them, then I really don't love them. Putting it blunt, these guys I work with, we have a creed that, we'll risk a lot to save a lot. And I believe to a man, most of us would sit there and die with a friend or a co-worker or another fireman before we'd leave that guy. We would die trying to save their life. That's one thing. But on the other basis, if I don't love them enough to tell them about Christ, then I just flat don't love them people. I may like them and I may be willing to lay my life down for them, but I don't really love those people. So we need to ask ourselves, do we have people in our lives that we love enough that we would invite them to church, that we would show them Jesus, that we would be in that place where they would see Jesus, to be in that place where if Jesus calls, they would know who Jesus is. Amen? And I don't mean that as a condemnation if we're not witnessing to those around us, if we're not loving our friends that we don't care about. I don't mean that as a condemnation. I mean it as an eye-opening thing for me, because it was for me. Then I had to really think, do I love these people enough to say something, or am I too ashamed or too shy? Can you imagine what it would be like if Jesus was like, oh, man, you know what? If I go over to that tax collector's booth and they see me associating with him, or if I call him, ooh, that's going to be a bad thing. I'm not so sure about this guy. You know, maybe these fishermen guys, hey, everybody likes fishermen. I may not have much, but everybody likes fishermen. But the tax collector fella, I might ought to stay away from him, because I don't want to be associated with him. If that's the kind of attitude we took with our friends, then our friends would never see Jesus in us. Amen? Just think about that and reflect on that. So what do we learn from Matthew's story? Jesus saw Matthew. Jesus pursued Matthew where he was at. We don't see Matthew, and we don't see a lot of people pursuing Christ, but Christ is always pursuing us. Through his Holy Spirit, he is calling us every day, all people, to come unto him. Jesus sees you as well. Jesus knows what's going on in your life. Jesus knows what your thoughts, your concerns, and your cares are, and he cares for you. As a Christian, in this time when we're all having to be away from one another and isolating at home, I think it's easy sometimes to feel like nobody cares. Nobody knows. Nobody cares about us, especially God, because I'm just sitting here and nobody calls me. You know, I can't go to church. Bless my little heart. But I guarantee you that God knows, God sees you, and God is there to minister to you. All you have to do is simply follow him. Just look and say, yes, Lord, what is it that you want from me? Lord, help me to bless you. And then just open up a heart of worship and praise, and you'll enter into his presence. Amen. John 3:17. We all know John 3:16 pretty clear and fair. But John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned because of the law. He didn't send him into the world to condemn the world. But he sent him, but to save the world through him. So when Jesus saw Matthew, Jesus was looking for an opportunity and had an opportunity to save someone. We see that Matthew followed Jesus. Matthew saw something in Christ that day that made him decide to leave everything. He did it out of a heart of relationship versus a heart of obligation. Jesus wants us to follow him out of a heart of intimacy, because we have, not because we have to, because we want to. Jesus wants to change our lives for the better. Amen. Finally, Matthew's friends met Jesus. Matthew knew that his friends had to meet Jesus if they wanted to be changed as well. He wanted that for them. He loved them enough that it says, you know what? What I got, I want you to have. And then the question is, do we love others the way that Matthew loved his friends that day? Matthew wasn't a great Bible character. He's not a Peter that we look at the rock. He's not a Paul that wrote most of the New Testament. And other people that we can mention in the Bible, hey, those are the guys. 9 times out of 10, you're not going to say Matthew was the guy. Although he wrote the book of Matthew, or believed to have written the book of Matthew. He's not one of those guys, but his story is a story that we can all learn from. And I just want to say this little prayer. It says, Lord, make me a Matthew, that when you call, I will leave all to follow you. Let my heart's desire be for an intimate relationship with you, and help me to love others as you have loved me. Amen. Amen. Let's all be a Matthew to our world. Amen. Pastor Stephen.
As Brian was closing, that a good prayer would be, God, enlarge my circle of influence. Yeah. We go to church, we've got our church friends, but enlarge that, Lord, so that we could be like Matthew, having a lot of people in our circle of influence. So thank you for tuning in today, and we're glad you did. God bless you, and we will see you again next Wednesday, same time.